Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast. This is episode 123. I am your host, Angelo. I'm back this week with my trusty sidekick, Mike.
I'm trusty.
At the moment. You just can't take a compliment. You gotta make me throw in a dig, don't you?
Yep.
Well, it is what it is.
Hey, we wouldn't be a good pair if that didn't happen.
True, true. Although, never mind.
It would be an interesting show, to be fair.
It would be less interesting.
Here's a compliment. No witty banter back and forth. No go fuck yourselves. This is the Pit Imps Podcast, not some sissy piece of shit.
I suppose. It is the Pit Imps Podcast, that'll give you.
Yeah, don't be a dick, but ball bust all you want.
Right. I love busting balls. You say hello, bye, fuck you. That's just great. Hi, Angelo, fuck you. Welcome to you, too. Have a good day.
They'll probably get a huge smile on their face if they know you.
Yeah, right. If they don't, it's like, okay, that was mean. No, it wasn't. Shut up. Quit being a bitch. Speaking of being a bitch, I don't really have a segue here. SCG.
Well, talk about people being bitches about something that happened, but we'll get to that. Hopefully not later.
We got to at least touch on it a little bit, but it's really nothing because exact same game, something else. It was just stupid. Anyway, SCG Invitational in Columbus, Ohio. They're always in Columbus, man.
I know.
It's a bit ridiculous. Take that motherfucker like 3 hours. With it. I don't know, man. I have no clue, but they're always in Columbus.
Yeah, but he wishes they were always in Cleveland.
Right. Dude, I would take Cleveland. It's actually closer than Columbus is.
Yeah, but Columbus doesn't have fast food restaurants closing at 5.
I suppose that's true. Well, let's get right to it. We had an invitational, so, okay, here's the way the invitationals work. They play modern in this one. Sometimes it's legacy. Then they play standard. Then they play modern, then they play standard, and then in the top 8 they play modern.
And that's 4 rounds modern, 4 rounds standard, 4 rounds modern, 4 rounds standard, top 8.
Right.
16 Swiss rounds.
All kinds of fun, all kinds of players.
Which is one more round than, you know,
a normal GP.
Yeah.
So, good on them. Anyway, our top 8, we did have 8 players show up in our top 8, and that was Christopher O'Brien.
Oh, we actually did have a full top 8?
We did have a full top 8. No one left. Okay. It's
no
happened
one got DQ'd.
No DQs.
All right.
Yeah. Richard Adams, Christopher O'Brien, JB Milo, Ali Antrazi, Josh Ravitz, Kyle Boggums, Chris Van Meter, and Tariq Patel. So we got some names on this list.
We have names.
It's a happy list. We had Richard Adams advancing with a 3-1 win over Christopher O'Brien. We have Ali Antrazi advancing with a 3-1 win over JB Milo. Josh Ravitz, he wins 3-1 over Kyle Boggums, which is really a shame. Chris Van Meter, 3-0 over Tariq Patel. Meter beats Ravitz 3-2, and Ali Antrazi beats Adams 3-1, and Ali Antrazi just says, you know what, fuck you, I win, 3-0.
Yeah, and what did he win with?
Well, we should probably go over let's go over that first. Top 8 modern deck lists were as such. Ali Antrazi, Green Red Tron.
I know.
Green Red Traum, 1 Spellskite, 3 Wormcoil Engine, 1 Emrakul the Aeons, Torn, 4 Karn Liberated, 2 Ugin the Spirit Dragon. Our spells are 4 Chromatic Spheres. That just says draw card. Just, I mean, it does produce
mana,
but
it produces your color for Ancient Stirrings. It's a filter draw card.
Yep, a Chromatic Star, same thing. 4 Expedition Map, that gets you your lands, which are important in this.
Yeah, right, that's kind of modern version of lands.
Right, 3 Oblivion Stone, which is spiked. 2 Relic of Progenitus, 4 Ancient Stirrings, 4 Pyroclasm, 4 Sylvan Scrying, sideboard that consists of 2 Crucible Worlds, 1 Relic of Progenitus, 2 Thragtusk, 2 Boil, 4 Nature's Claim, 3 Rending Volley, 1 Ghost Quarter, and his lands were as such. I have to go over them because, you know, the deck is kind of named after the lands.
Wait, Thragtusk, what's that? I know there's a card called Swagtusk.
That's a Thragtusk.
Yeah.
Thragtusk.
Swagtusk.
Fuck Swagtusk. It's a Thragtusk.
You ever seen the ultra they did on Moto for that?
No.
They put a top hat or a flat brim on it. His head sideways, some shades, and some necklace, and some chain.
It's gold chains.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Trying to look. He looks thug.
Oh my god. So we have a forest. We have 2 Ghost Quarter main board. This helped him a lot through his journey. We had 4 Grove of the Burn Willows, 1 Eye of Ugin, and we have 4 of each of the namesake lands, which is Urza's Mine, Power Plant, and Tower. So for those who, you know, I don't know, lived under a rock forever and never played with Tron lands, what happens is you get out of mine, you get out of power plant, you get out of tower, and you have literally a fuck ton of mana.
You have 7 mana. Mine and power plant each produce 2 if you have the other 2, and tower produces 3 if you have the other 2.
So, yeah, you gotta have all 3 of them, if not...
So, you just have natural turn 3 Karns, you know.
Yeah, because that's fair.
That's how the deck works.
Because that's fair.
Oh, you miss a land drop, exile your land.
Right. Oh, there's so many ways to get it. You just rip through your deck. Between the Expedition maps, the Star, and the Spheres, you're going to get through Sylvan Scrying, Ancient Stirrings. You're going to get through crap. So that's...
Well, sometimes you won't, but they'll have it.
Yeah, sometimes you just literally, it's like, you know, you draw top of your deck. Oh, there's the third one that I need. Sweet.
Oh, I was referring to the incident, but...
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that later. Okay, let's get through the decks first.
I saw a segue and I went for it.
Sorry. Chris Van Meter, he was on what?
Amulet Bloom.
Yeah.
Fun combo deck involving Azusa, Lost But Seeking, and Primeval Titan.
Because modern is fun.
Creatures, 4 Primeval Titan, 2 Azusa, Lost But Seeking, and 1 Dragonlord Jermoka? Okay. Oh no. Okay, we got it. Lost the computer. Lands. There's 27 lands. 1 forest, 1 Boros Garrison, 2 Cavern of Souls, 4 Gemstone Mine, 1 Golgari Rot Farm, 3 Gruul Turf, 1 Kalani Garden, a Mana Confluence, a Radiant Fountain, 1 Silesian Sanctuary, 4 Simic Growth Chamber, a Slayer's Stronghold, Sunhome, Fortress of Legion, 1 Tendo Ice Bridge, 3 Teleria West, and 1 Vesuva.
But more importantly, how the fuck do you drop your computer?
I kind of adjust a little bit in its lid.
Oh, my God. Get a table, man.
Yeah. So on to spells. We have kind of like one.
Oh, yeah. Now you want to change the subject.
4 Amulet of Vigor. What this does, it's a 1-mana artifact. Whenever a land would enter the battlefield under your control, tap, untap it. Oh, permanent.
Yep. For this
whenever
deck,
permanent enters the battlefield, tap, under your control.
Yeah. Untap. For this deck, it's land that is what matters, but it is actually any permanent.
Yeah. Keep moving on. We have 3 Hive Mind. For those of you who don't know what Hive Mind is, 6 mana enchantment, 5 and a blue. Whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell, each other player copies that spell, and those players choose new targets for his or her copy.
Ultimate card in a game of EDH when you're casting Shazarat, just saying. Yep.
And here is how you win with this card. You cast either one of your 2 Pact of Negations, your Slaughter Pact, or one of your 4 Summoner's Pacts, which I'll say, if you don't pay, they're all free to cast, so 0 mana. But if you do not pay their designated cost onto your next upkeep, you lose the game. So, especially against blue deck, oh, I'm going to cast this Summoner's Pact. So do you. You cast one, too. You have no target K. Oh, you can't pay 2 green and 3 on the upkeep. You lose.
Holy hell, amulets are worth $8.50.
Yeah.
That was after like a junk rare.
After Growth War, they were like 12.
They were such a junk rare back then. I wonder how many I have. I'm going to have to look that up later.
And continuing spells, we have 4 Ancient Stirrings, 4 Serum Visions, and 4 Summer Bloom, which is unfair because it's 2 mana sorcery. You may play up to 3 additional lands.
From your hand.
From your hand, yes.
Yeah, it's fairish-ish.
Ish. The way you do this is turn 1 Amulet of Vigor. Turn 2, you play a bounce land, which untaps before you have to bounce something. Add 2, bounce the bounce land. Use Summer Bloom with that mana. Repeat, cast Primetime. Get Boros Garrison, Slayer Stronghold, give it Haste and Vigilance, attack. Get 2 more lands.
Pretty much.
Pretty simple. Yet some people find a way to screw it all up.
Well, in fairness, there's a lot more lines into this deck than just that.
True, but that's the first line you go for.
It is the first one.
Step 1, Primetime.
Yep, step 2, right. Pact of Negation, Hive Mind.
Yep. Onto the sideboard, we have ourselves a Chalice of the Void, a Chromatic Lantern.
Ooh.
An Engineered Explosives, a Hornet Queen, 3 Thragtusk, 3 Leyline of Sanctity, 2 Seal of Primordium, 2 Pyroclasm, and 1 Ghost Quarter.
Yay.
I see a Lantern there, but hey. I mean, against, like, probably the decks that have heavy land destruction, it's probably helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. You can always get one force.
Yeah.
So, how the finals, the way it broke down was, remember me saying earlier about the Ghost Quarter? Yeah, that matters. He won game 1 basically off of the back of the 2 main board Ghost Quarters. He was able to stall Chris Van Meter out long enough that he eventually just was like, Tron, Nagaber! And, you know.
Tron, Karn, you're dead.
Yeah, Tron, Karn. Actually, it wasn't Tron, Karn, you're dead. It was Tron, Karn, destroy that, Ugin, now you're dead. And he was like, yeah.
And he could have probably conceded with Karn.
No, he actually killed his own Karn. Although at that point, Chris Van Meter had very few lands.
Yeah.
It was like double Ghost Quarter plus 2 Karn activations. Like, dude, you have no land. And CVM was just kind of looking at his hand going, oh man, that's bad.
Yeah, that's normally bad. No matter what deck you're playing.
It is so bad, regardless of the deck. But during said game, there was some play errors that we kind of got to cover.
Yeah, just briefly.
Just briefly. The big one that people seem to be talking about more is the Ali Antrazi one.
Blowing it up more than it needs to be.
Would you like to explain what happened there?
Okay, so what happened was he had three Tron lands in play, but he did not have the power plant, mine, and tower. I believe he had two towers and two power plants, but he had the mine in hand. Well, he played his land for turn and then tapped as if he had all three Tron pieces out.
He played the wrong land.
Yeah. And then neither player noticed it. The game went on for, I believe, like four turns before it was noticed.
Honest mistake, I think.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I mean, like,
if you're a Magic player and say he should, like, you're one advocating for repercussions against Antrazi, you can't tell me you've never played a game of Magic and tapped your mana for either A, not having enough mana to play for it, having 5 mana for 6 mana spell, or trying to cast a double blue spell with only one blue source.
Or hell, looking at your cards going next turn, I'm going to play that island and you accidentally set down that planes.
Yep.
Everybody has done it. Like, it happens. And, you know, with his Urza lands.
It is human error, which is what makes this game challenging.
Yeah, and with the Urza's lands, realistically, I mean, yeah. Once you just stack them on top of each other, you don't even recognize what's really there.
I mean, he already had at that point, that was like his 7th land in play anyway.
Uh-huh.
But he couldn't play a Karn because one was Eye of Ugin.
Yeah.
But he's essentially, he essentially just could have played the Karn regardless. He just played the wrong land at the time.
Yeah.
And that game wasn't even close, even with that happening, so.
No, I mean, game 2 and 3 were actually not close at all. Game two, I know, CVM, he kind of got, he got defensive with his deck, which he shouldn't have.
No.
And that cost him that.
Your combo deck, this is a non-combo deck. Well, no, not combo.
Yeah, he did not play it well. And then the third game was pretty much Ali running over him. But the thing is, if Ali Antrazi's a cheater in game 3 for doing that, Chris Van Meter's a cheater in game 2 because he cast, Cumshot.
What?
He cast Cumshot, or Bukkake, I'm sorry.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, he cast Serum Visions and he drew too many cards with it.
Oh.
Human error, yet again. Like, I mean, if you're gonna call somebody, one person a cheater, hey, the other person did something wrong first, so isn't he a cheater too?
An eye for an eye. No, it's just both human error.
Yep.
Everyone calm down. Slap. They don't even need to slap on the wrist. They probably just slap each other on the wrist and be like, oh, we're idiots. Move on. Yeah.
Grow the fuck up.
Probably get their balls busted by their friends for a little while.
Yeah, really. Like, look, I know the keyboard Taekwondo Dojo or whatever the fuck you guys
call. Underground Dojo Keyboard Cage Fighters.
Yeah, whatever. I know you guys like to, you know, point out these things and, you know, for the most part, we're very thankful for it.
Yep, but this is one that put your keyboards down and go take a break.
Yeah, just calm the fuck down. Relax. Sometimes shit happens. It's not like either player has a history of this. I can't look back and say that, you know, either player has been doing this a lot. I just think it's funny that Ali is the one that's catching hell when, like I said, literally the game before, CVM made a mistake too. And, you know, no, why would you think of CVM doing that? Well, why would you think Ali Antrazi is doing this? Let me see a string of these and then I will, you know, maybe come back to it and go, maybe not. But right now, the dude played a lot of Magic over the weekend. His bearing was fucking.
This is the finals. They're all the rounds of the finals were best 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike just the finals at Pro Tours. Plus, they played an additional round over GPs. So let's see, they played at minimum 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. At minimum 8 additional games at the very minimum than you would at a GP, which is almost 3 extra rounds.
It was over 3 days, and they did get bigger breaks in the finals day because they play one half of the bracket, then the other half of the bracket, so they can have, you know, a game and a backup game for each of the rounds, but they still want to show you every game that they can, which I really like the way they do that, to give SCG a little props there. Again, their fucking coverage.
Their coverage and production is spot on.
It is. It's superb. I mean, I do like the way the Pro Tour does their top 8 a little better.
Yeah, it's where you watch every game.
Where I get to watch every one of them.
3 out of 5.
It would take quite a bit longer. Yeah. I mean, that's just...
Because, I mean, there was one match, I think it was the Ali Antrazi versus JB Milo.
Mm-hmm.
That one took, like, 90 minutes to complete. And that was a 3-1 victory.
Yeah.
But, and Ollie was up 2-1, so even if, like, that last game, I guarantee you, did not take 20 minutes.
No.
So it's still over an hour for one match.
Which, I'm fine with watching for a day, though. But I gotta realize...
Even water?
I mean, dude, you know what? I didn't even want to get on this grade, but fuck it, I'm going to. Dude, I am so fucking tired of Modern.
You're going to a modern GP this weekend.
I know, and I'm not playing.
I don't care if you're just going to hang out. It is a GP where the main format is modern, and you know people playing in it. You're going to have modern in your life this weekend.
Dude, I've had modern in my life for 3 fucking weeks. It's driving me bananas. I can't watch Twitch because every Twitch streamer right now is doing fucking Modern Masters drafts, which, okay, cool, fine, but you know what? I don't care about Modern Masters. I'm not playing it really. So I'm just like, all right, guess I ain't watching any of this because, you know, what can I learn? How to play a format that I don't play? And then it's like all modern keys are fucking modern. And then this is modern. It's like, fuck, so much modern.
Don't worry, there's not a modern pro tour this year. That's next year. But the top 8 deck lists were first place Red Green Tron, second place Amulet Bloom, third place Jund, fourth place Merfolk, fifth place Green Red Tron, sixth place Obzon Company. That's the click company with the Malira.
That is Podless Pod. Yep. That's what everyone named it for months until one of them actually did well at an SCG event. And then they're like, we're going to change the name of it. Like, dude, it's been Podless Pod online since the fucking card came out.
Seventh place was Amulet Bloom, and eighth place was Grixis Twin.
Yeah, a bunch of fair decks. It's pretty bad when you say Merfolk and Jund are your two fairest decks on this list.
Yeah, because Twin and Bloom are the least fair.
Yeah, I don't think Tron's exactly the fairest. I mean, it's fairer. No. Abzan Company and Tron are probably in the same fairness level.
Yeah, Abzan Company can play fair game, but they tend not to.
Abzan Company is a lot fairer than Pod was.
I don't agree because you can get the combo quickly on turn 3.
You can some of the times. It can act a lot more unfair. However, Pod was just unfair in the fact that, like, if the game went past turn 4, you could not beat it.
Yeah.
Because it just had the answer.
True.
So, I mean, like, that was, it's kind of a different type of fair, I guess.
Yeah.
But Merfolk and Jund are just fair decks.
Well, Merfolk probably would have had a decent matchup against Tron. Oh, look, you have Tron lands? No, they're islands.
They are
islands. You have a red source finally? No, that's an island.
Right.
Oh, Pyroclasm. My guys are 3/3s.
The Monastery Sieges aren't as good.
No, but, I mean, still you loot with it, which you might take against Tron.
Well, what you do is you end up taking those out and you bring in Seaskin.
Oh, yeah.
Against Tron, and you just go, hey, I got 2 more spreading Z's, go fuck yourself. And then they're very disappointed. And you literally target just one of the Tron lands with it. You go, I'm not going to spread it over mine. You just go tower, 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 tower. Just, that's it. Fuck.
Oh, look, rear 4 towers are gone. Oh, right. Look, you just drew the 4th tower because Tron's Luxac. Whatever.
Yeah, look what I happen to have. So, yeah, I mean, like, the Merfolk deck is the Merfolk deck. It's exactly what you expect. It's all the lords. It's a curse catcher. It's a Silver Gill Adept. And it's another lord in Phantasmal Image.
Aether Vials.
Moodle Waltz. Aether Vials. Monastery Siege is kind of the new card to it.
Yeah, but they're not. Are they doing full 4-of in this list?
No, Monastery Siege is a 2-of. You usually put down as dragons and 1 down as cons. Depending on what deck you're playing. Like, if you're playing against, like, the red deck, your first one that you put down, it being dragons, is just backbreaking.
Yeah.
They just go, oh, I don't know how to win, damn. You know, because they just don't have enough mana to make things work. And, you know, it's interesting. Their sideboard is really cool. You got 2 Unified Wills, which I thought
was... Yeah, Monastery Siege is real good against, like, the burn decks, game 1.
Oh, it's so good against the burn game 1.
It said that bolt cost 3, please. Sorry.
Right.
No matter where you point it.
Fuck you, and your goblin guy. It cost 3.
Oh, you kept a 1 lander? You have an island now.
Right. Hey, it's a good thing that you suspended that rift bolt. Now pay 2, fucker. It's just so unfair. But
yeah, that one, you probably named double dragons in that one, because if you land both on dragons against burn, they're not casting any single spell for the rest of the game.
Yeah, they can't beat you.
Except a creature.
And, you know, some of the decks you want to come out, you want to name dragons first. Some of them you want to name cons first. It really depends on your matchup. But you want to get, in most matchups, 1 of each out there, because between the 2 of them, you can just shut down about anything. So good up on Mr. Adams for playing that deck. Josh Ravitz, good up on him for playing Jund. Yeah, you just heard me say that.
I like that Jund's making a comeback.
Yeah, well, you know what? Jund isn't nearly as bad in my eyes. Like, he used to play so unfairly when they had fucking Bloodbraid Elves. Now that Bloodbraid is gone, like, I really think this is just a fair good deck. You just have answers to, like, everything. This current one, the current...
Which is what Jund was originally meant to be.
Right, and...
Bloodbraid just made you find the answers way too quick.
Way too quick. You have 4 Dark Confidant, 3 Scavenging Ooze, 4 Tarmogoyf. That is pretty standard. Expect
Olivia Voldaren.
1 Olivia Voldaren, 1 Tassigar the Golden Fang. These are typical, however, they are interchangeable.
Yep.
I've seen them with 2 Olivias, I've seen them with 2 Tassigars, I've seen a Tassigar, and of all things, a fish...
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, Olivia, you're going to run the fish. Okay. I mean, it is nice to like mana. What's up?
I don't like the fish and Tasker with the confidants. I mean, go big or go home, but Olivia just provides so much upside.
It does, it does. So we also have...
It's like, I'm going to paint your worm coil, steal it, it's mine now.
Ah, oh, so much. So nice, so nice.
Plus, one ping puts her out of pyroclasm range.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It only costs 2 mana to 1 damage to a creature and give her a counter.
Right, and there's the whole...
Like, what red creature should have... Yeah, at instant speed, I'm going to pay 2 red and 1, she gets a counter.
Yeah, like, you could also pig your own shit just to make her bigger. Like, Scavenging Goose likes taking shots for that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just Tarmogoyf. Just loves it.
I'll take them all. Kill your own confidant if you're going low on life.
Yeah, it's good for that. It's actually very good for that. We also have 4 Planeswalkers in here. They're all Liliana the Veil.
Well, why wouldn't they be? Because the Woltleaf Lieges are gone.
They could be, I don't know. Lands of note, 4 Raging Ravines. I say this is of note because this thing will kill you.
Yes, it will. these are creatures number 14 through 17.
Rather quickly, it will kill you. Yeah. If you've never played with Raging Ravine, I pity you because it was a fun card. We have a Singleton Outpost Siege in here. I like that.
I like it. I saw some lists originally are toying around with Chandra because I know Jerry Thompson was posting about having a Chandra. He liked it for the ping to get through like Tarmogoyfs.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean,
Outpost
Siege acts in a very similar manner, and enchantment removal.
I'd rather have the Chandra, to be fair, because with decks like Twin running around in Blood Moons, there's going to be a decent amount of enchantment hate. There's no downfalls in this format.
Yeah, there really
is. No heroes.
So it's kind
of abrupt
decay. It doesn't.
It's probably personal preference. I guess he wants it mainly to also have the chance to like, oh, you're low on life, but I can't squeeze through any damage. Okay, I'll put it on dragons, is it, and just attack with my Dark Confidants. Whether you block or not, you're losing a life.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to chump. You have to chump this Tarmogoyf and Tasker. If you want to kill them, you're going to take damage.
True. We have 2 Abrupt Decay.
Very.
Very. And gone. 2 Abrupt Decay, awesome card. 2 Kolaghan's Command, which is...
A lot better in Modern than Standard.
So much better in Modern than Standards. The shit you can get back.
There's a deck called Robot and Affinity that just play nothing but artifacts.
Plus, the creature card from Graveyard to Hand that you get back in Modern is so much stronger. Right. It's so much stronger than what it is in Standard. In Standard, a lot of times you play this and then the next turn you get to play your creature. No. In Modern, you get to play this and then drop a 4/5. Fair. So fair. We have 4 Lightning Bolt, 3 Terminate, 3 Inquisition of Kozilek, 3 Thoughtseize, and a Singleton Maelstrom Pulse. For the sideboard, one of its worst matchups actually is the Bloom deck. So they have 4 Fulminator Mages to try and fight the good fight.
Also good against Tron.
It is. 1 Grimlock.
No matter how strong your guys are, Karn is still Karn.
Mm-hmm. He has 2 copies of one of those cards that can be switched with the Tasker and the Olivia, and that is Huntmaster of the Fells.
One of my favorite, if not my most favorite magic card.
Your most favorite.
Yes.
Okay, that's good English.
Not my favorite.
Hey, whatever. Thanks. 1 more Outpost Siege, 1 more Abrupt Decay, 1 more Olivia, 1 Duress, and you must have 2 Shatterstorms.
Yep.
Yeah,
were sowing salt in here.
Right. Sowing salt. Can't that, damn it. Can't believe what Shatterstorms are, too. It's almost $4.
Well, I mean...
Shit, Angelo's going to sell. That's what this episode needs to be called.
I mean, if it weren't for Glyphs and Confidants and Lilies, I'd love to build this deck.
Mm-hmm. So, going over the rest of the decks, do we need to go over Abzan Company? It's pod to spot.
No, I mean, the numbers, like, there's a lot of ones and twos, but, like, you're going to find the combo pieces from Pod. You're going to find some of the Wall of Roots. There's no real utility cards. It's just, like, essentially almost Pod's deck list, cutting off the 4s through 5s.
Green Red Chod, we've already gone over one of those, so I don't want to go over it again. Same with Amulet Bloom. Cowboys was on Grixis Twin. It's Twin, but in Grixis colors. Because that's right.
And Terminate.
Kolaghan's Command as well.
Yeah.
Which just makes the combo much more resilient.
Which makes it also its affinity matchup a lot better, because affinity could almost race it before it could kill.
True. So,
if they got the aggressive draw, they'd chump with my Pestermite.
Right. So, the way you get to the top 8 is you gotta be good in Standard and Modern. We've gone over the Modern decks, let's go over the top 8 Standard decks. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that every one of these Standard decks were like 8-0s. Some of them could be like 6-3s.
Some ones are better. Oh, you're going over there. Okay, never mind.
No, I mean, you could be, technically, you could make top 8 with 3 losses. So it could be a 5-3, and then you go 8-0 in the Modern section. So, you know, you can kind of take all these decks with a grain of salt, but they are what they are. We have Naya Dragons from Ali Antrazi. You're a Naya fan, ain't you?
Yeah, I like me some Naya.
Well, tell me how this works.
Well, he was on 30 creatures.
All right.
4 Elvish Mystic. 4 Rattleclaw Mystic. 4 Sylvan Caryatid. So there's your mana dorks.
We are rampant.
We are a rampant.
There's more ramp.
There's more ramp with 4 coursers.
All kinds of ramp. So we have 16 forms of ramp.
Yep.
Awesome.
Then we have 3 Dragonlord Atarka. 3 Dragonlord Drumoka. 4 Whisperwood Elemental. 2 Xenagos God of Revels.
And 2 Hidden Dragon Slayers.
I was getting to that spice.
Okay, all right. Thought you just...
And we have 2 Valorous Stances or spells. Planeswalkers, there are 4 of them. 3 Xenagos the Reveler, and 1 Ajani Mentor of Heroes. Remember, kids, reveal what you choose.
Yeah, make sure you reveal before you put 2 hand.
Before you even set down.
That's next level magic right there.
Yeah.
Digs. So what was in the sideboard?
Sideboard, we have 1 Arbor Colossus, 3 Hornet Nest, 3 Mastery of the Unseen, 4 Dramokus Command, 3 Twin Bolt, and an Ugin the Spirit Dragon.
Ta-da, Aliantrazius. Naya Dragon's List.
I kind of wish there would have been a Tarka World Render for the Xenagos Atarka combo, just insta-kill. 28 you?
Yeah. Well, Chris Van Meter, he was not playing the green-red in Modern, but he was playing it in Standard, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
we
have 4 Elvish Mystic. 4 Rattleclaw Mystic, 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Courser of Crowfix, we be a rampant. We have 3 Deathmist Raptor, 3 Genesis Hydra, 2 Hornet Queens, 4 Whisperwood Elementals, 3 Dragonlord Atarkas, 3 Palookanos the World Eater, 2 Xenagos the Reveler, that'd be the Planeswalker one, not the God. Okay, good. And then he has a sideboard. So it's all critters.
Where's the sideboard?
2 Arbor Colossus, 1 Den Protector, 2 Hornet's Nest, 3 Nihilus Disciple, 2 Plummet, 2 Nissa World Waker, 1 Ugin, 1 Xenagos the Reveler, and 1 Arc Lightning.
Oh, and of note about Ali's Naya Dragons deck, it's kind of nice to see a green deck without the Den Protector Death Mist.
It was shocking to see Van Meter. He's only got 1 Den Protector in his sideboard.
Yeah, that's a surprising part, but Ali Antrazi just foregoing all copies of both Den Protector and Death Mist. I mean... Sure, his game plan was big fat dragons kill you, but with such value cards, I'm a bit surprised to not see at least the Den Protectors, especially for like a green-red mirror because it kills Xenagos.
At least the Raptor, I think, because the Raptor.
Well, I say at least Den Protector because it's good against control, it's good against the green mirrors.
And Raptor is good against everything.
It is and isn't. Den Protector almost never lets you get, you almost always come out on top because they waste a removal spell, you
that
lose a creature, but you get a card back. So your opponent essentially 1-0'd, almost.
Ah, well, I just looked at every other green-red list. None of them have the Den Protectors. They all have some Death Mist Raptors.
I mean, but with... that's... Especially with green-red so prevalent, it just kills Xenagos flat out when it Megamorphs, because the Satyrs can't block it, the Courser can't block it, none of the Mana Dorks can block it.
Yeah.
And that is one of the key cards in the mirror.
Yeah. So, third place, Josh Rabbits, Abzan Megamorph. How's that go, Mike?
All these Megamorph decks keep going over them. We have...
well, you Deathmist see what the next deck is. I'm going over that.
We have 4 Deathmist Raptor, 4 Den Protector, 4 Satyr Wayfinder, 4 Sea Drano, 4 Courser, 1 Tassiger. We have 3 Elspeth, 4 Obzon Charm, 2 Downfalls, 2 Crux, and 4 Thoughties. No lands of note. Because Urborg at this point, everyone knows there's an Urborg in every blacklist.
Not everyone. All the Abzan.
Sideboard. Yeah. Sideboard. We have 3 Irration Clerics, 2 Dramokus Command, a Murderous Cut, 2 Ultimate Price, 2 Nissa World Waker, 1 Soren Song Visitor, 3 Drown in Sorrow, and 1 Duress.
Yay.
Megamorphs. Yeah, Megamorphs. I'm tired of Megamorph decks. Fourth place. They're good, but I'm just tired of going over them.
Fourth place. Mardu Dragons.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, tell me if you heard
wants to go over this one.
4 Goblin Rabble Master, 3 Seeker of the Way, 3 Soulfire Grand Masters, 4 Stormbreak Dragon, 4 Thunderbreak Regents, 2 Kolaghan Storms Fury. That's 20 creatures. I'm currently down to 18. Lands of note, only 1 Haven of the Spirit Dragon. I think that's wrong.
Depends on how many double black belts he's running.
I suppose. I run 2 of them myself. I like it. So we have
4. I feel like 2 is the correct amount, but unless he's like getting heavy on the downfalls and bow blights.
He is not. We have 4 Crackling Doom, 4 Draconic Roar, 1 File Timing Invocation, 1 Kolaghan's Command, 1 Murderous Cut, 1 Ultimate Price, 3 Thoughtseize.
No Martyr Charm.
Nope. Somewhat of a different list than what I'm running, but fair. A lot of one else.
The main package is the same of Thunderbreaks, Stormbreaths.
Soulfires, yeah.
Soulfires, probably Seekers.
A lot of one ofs in the spells. Really weird to see that. I like more Foul Tongue invocations myself.
He might be just trying to say like open and versatile with his removal, but then again, that kind of also hurts you. because you have less copies to draw to as outs.
Mm-hmm. Sideboard, three outpost seeds. That's for the mirror match.
Yep.
One Kolaghan, Storm's Fury. One Elspeth, Sun's Champion. Four Anger of the Gods, two Crux of Fate, one Duress, two Read the Bones, and one Thought Seize. Dan, dan, dan. Cool.
Fifth, sixth, and seventh place, we have Green Red Devotion. Not going over those.
No.
Eighth place, Esper Dragons. Must we go over?
Let's see. No?
I mean... This is the first Dragons deck we've gone over since the Pro Tour. It was the first Dragons deck to be popular.
Look, you take Ojutai, you take Silumgar, right?
You take Haven.
And then you have a bunch of spells.
And removal spells. Counter spells, board wipes.
And dig spells.
Bounce balls.
Like, quite literally dig.
And draw spells, counter spells, removal spells, and evasive dragons. Got it.
Right. I mean, one of the big things that has changed since the beginning of this is Anticipate is no longer to be seen in this deck.
You will see it very rarely, but it's like a 10% of the time.
Yeah, it's pretty much regarded as wrong now.
I don't think it's regarded as wrong, just not as good.
Which just makes it wrong. There's better things to play. I mean, if you're going to play something that's suboptimal, then it's just wrong.
But I feel like post-rotation, it's probably going to pick up in popularity. Because you're probably going to have to run Silumgar's Command in this deck, and you got to dig to that.
Yeah. Well, no.
I mean, Silumgar's Command is replacing Downfall. They have to use that to replace Downfall.
I suppose. Did you hear what Ali Androzzi picked? I did not.
Yes, he picked an Eldrazi token.
Ooh, Ali Androzzi's going to be an Eldrazi. That actually makes sense.
Not only him, but also his kid. They have confirmed that him and his kid will be posted in it.
That actually, Androzzi, Eldrazi, I like it.
Mm-hmm. I think his Twitter handle is actually Ali Eldrazi or something.
Oh, that's sweet. Good pick on him. I like that. Go ahead, be that.
0/1. Hey, he'll see a lot of, well, if this was, you know, a month ago, he would see a lot of play in Modern Masters 2.
He would. He'd be on camera a lot. I still think Cedric, he's the one who nailed it. He picked Goblins. You always see Cedric Phillips tokens on there.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Rebel Master.
Uh-huh. Well, it was quite a little while before we saw him, because when he picked it, I think Krenko's Command and Krenko were the only ones in Standard, and those weren't seeing play.
Yeah, but it was only a matter of time.
Waited about a year. Then we got a Rebel Master.
It's like Soldiers. You know you're going to see one Soldiers at some point. You know you're going to see one Goblins at some point. It's only a matter of time.
You really won't see 1/1 humans very often, because Wizards tries to not do the human token archetype very often.
Right. Well, congratulations to Ali Androzzi. I was rooting, unfortunately not for you. I wanted to see, just realistically, I wanted to see CVM get one. He's been grinding this circuit for years. He's one of their faces, and he doesn't have one, and I felt like, you know, it was time.
This is actually one of his, is this his only top eight?
I think so.
Yep.
But it was definitely, in my eyes, time for him to finally make it.
He's had some great starts.
Oh, he's had some ninth places.
This is like the fourth Invitational where he's gone either undefeated or X1 on day one.
He has, like, three, I want to say, ninth places.
Yeah, he is the best day one record, I believe, out of anyone on the Open Series.
Yeah. So
BBD is a close second.
Yes.
Because BBD's had two undefeateds. They were actually back-to-back undefeateds.
And for the old people, he's not talking about Belbiv DeVoe.
Who?
Belbiv DeVoe.
No idea.
That's the band, BBD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, I'm old, so when people call Brian Brondew and BBD, it's still, I immediately think of Belbiv DeVoe because I'm old. So,
and Angela, I think I might like this.
I'm just filling those older folks in that listen to this. You got that, guys. Not Belbiv DeVoe, Brian Brondew.
I was scrolling through the 6/1 or better standard deck, 6/1/1 or better standard deck list.
Yeah.
Blue Green Devotion.
Okay.
The mono blue with Lucky Company. There's some Frostwalkers in there and some Ice Feather Raven. Sweet.
Yeah. Even on the IQ, Jeff Hooglid won it with a very strange Bardu list.
Yeah, there are a lot of Esper Dragons, Megamorph, and then Mardu Dragons, also in 6/1/1 or better.
Yeah. So, it's good to see my dragons still doing good. We're going to take a quick break, and we will return in just one moment. Is your store giving out a free box of Modern Masters every week? Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, my store is. Anyway, what is that store? Titan Game Shop. I've told you guys about these people so many times. They're absolutely amazing. I know they've treated us beyond fair, and I know for a fact that anybody who orders off of them, well, they treat them fairly too, especially if you let them know that, hey, the Pit Hip sent us. But look, about that free Modern Masters box, they're running this tournament series that is absolutely insane. So check this out. Every week, you come there, you play. If you win the Saturday event, hey, guess what? Here's a box of Modern Masters. And then on Thursdays, they actually have a pre-event to the Saturday event where you come and you can play and win. You don't get a box for that. I mean, let's not fucking talk crazy here. But you do get a buy for the big match on Saturday.
That's so helpful. Plus, you know, there are some prize packs and stuff going on. Hey, these guys just do everything right, from their tournaments to their sales to their quick shipping to their absolute insane folding when it comes to what they're putting into your envelope. I mean, what they do with the cards to make sure that they're not damaged, I've seen nobody else do. I can't recommend it enough. Please check these guys out, okay? That's Titan Game Shop. You can find them at titangameshop.com. And if you have any questions, feel free to email them at titancards@gmail.com.
And we are back and stuff. We didn't really go anywhere. We've been sitting right here.
Nope. Nope, joke's on you. We went out and went to a rave and then came back.
Yeah, like literally. I mean, and here you hear us 1 minute later. The magic of fucking recording, you know?
I know. Don't you wish you knew what happened whenever those ads play?
Oh,
don't you wish you know what could go on behind the scenes?
The things we talk about. Oh, we just rag on every one of you. Like,
there are quite a few episodes Will and I begged Angelo to put on the post on what was recorded that was hidden.
You know what's sad is, like, I a lot of times plan on doing it and just forget. Because it's just quicker to cut it out when I'm doing the recordings. It's like, ah, fuck me. Oh, well, it's already up there, you know. Like, the fact that I remembered the week your brother was on was amazing to me.
But, yeah, I know. I'm like, why did he do this for this? It's not fair.
Because it was my joke and it was funny.
Aw. Even though Will and I try to gang up on you and get you to do something?
Yeah, but, you know, it's you and Will. I can very easily, like, ignore you guys. So, Magic got a little bit of mainstream media attention this past week. The Rolling Stone wasn't on the cover or nothing, so don't start playing bad songs.
Rolling Stone was not on the cover.
No. Magic was not on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, that was that one, yep.
Yeah, it's a bad song. But they went over, basically, GPs. They compared it to Game of Thrones. Why? I have no clue.
I think to try to, like, explain what Magic is to, like, the basic people. Fans. Most people watch Game of Thrones and see that it's fantasy. Like, most people, if you said fantasy, they'd be like, well, what type of fantasy? Like, that's kind of vague.
Mm-hmm. They promoted,
when you say Game of Thrones, it's a little bit more specific.
They did. They promoted quiet speculation for some reason because of the money aspect of the game and all kinds of other things. But they did a big write-up. The reason they did it was because of Vegas. Go figure.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's always good to see Magic put out in a good light. And this actually was not a bad article to read about.
No, it was not. I read it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, most mainstream media articles that you see on Magic the Gathering are very blah, 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 obvious shit. But you're just happy to see it out there in the mainstream. But this is actually a very good written article about Magic the Gathering.
Like, yeah, they took their time to get details and not just, you know, vague, basic concepts that every single Magic player knows.
Mm-hmm. So they ended up with, you know, going to Vegas and paying attention and writing a good article about it. And it's, again, just like I said, it's just good to see the mainstream media actually covering this game because the game is growing and it's growing at a dramatic rate. And with the movie coming out soon, probably in the next few years, it's good to begin to get people a heads up on, hey, this is that game that, you know, this movie is going to be made after and what have you. Oh, well.
I also like the fact that the person who wrote the article actually competed in the Grand Prix.
Uh-huh.
Him and his buddies went down, competed. He even talked about, you know, some bad beat stories and then what he did and go drinking with his friends after, which is what 90% of age, 21 and older, people do when they go to a GP and scrub out. They go drink with their friends.
Yeah, the truth is, what Magic the Gathering GPs are is, for about, you know, 200 people, it's a legitimate tournament that they're trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
And those are your day tours. For everybody else, it is a boon to the city because of the alcohol that will be consumed by all of those players. Like, the money that has to be made off of the cities that hold GPs, it's gotta be
unreal. Oh.
I've never heard of the cities telling them, no, don't come back here.
Nope. Unlike Kenny Chesney concerts in Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, dude, the people here are fucking savages.
Yeah, we have country concerts, and people who tailgate for that are disgusting pigs who leave the essentially parking lot with almost pretty much two layers of trash on top of the concrete parking lot, and you can't see any asphalt.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're not allowed to have metal bands come because they're afraid what the fans will do.
Yep. And it's really just white trash being white trash. Let's just call a spade here. It's yep. white trash. They talk about the garbage and tonnage. So bad. Anyway.
It is so bad. If you've never seen pictures of how bad it gets, Google Kenny Chesney tailgate in Pittsburgh.
We are getting way off topic. So let me bring it back into Magic. We had an announcement, and this is going to go into Origin spoilers, kind of, sort of. Actually,
sort of.
They have changed some of the keywords. Intimidate is now gone.
What? Aw.
Yeah, they've brought in a new keyword called Menace. And what Menace
is... I'm glad that they finally gave it a name.
Yes. This creature can't be blocked except by two or more creatures. We've seen this before. We've seen this on some cards that are actually kind of good. It's
the Madcap skills.
Yeah. Madcap skills. Ooh, Madcap skills.
Wolf Fireheart.
Yes.
Fireheart Wolf. Yep.
Yeah, but that made it so every one of your creatures could only... had to be blocked by two or more. Not just him.
I believe... Yeah.
Yeah. That card was fucking insane. That was a great
card. They also removed Landwalk and Protection.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm a bit surprised to see the
protection. What did they bring in?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to get into what they actually brought in.
I guess Prowess.
Prowess! There you go.
And Scry.
Prowess has been brought in. That's going to be your blue evergreen. And Scry apparently is going to be red now.
I mean, it's red-blue, probably.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't really give red card draw aside from rummaging, which is a slang term for discard card, draw card.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is their way of giving red card selection instead of card advantage.
Yeah.
Which I can see it. I think it's fair.
It is. I mean, I don't...
Blue doesn't really need draw plus scry.
It feels like a blue ability to me, though.
It does.
I mean, like...
It does, but it also still feels red to me. Because...
Does it?
What scry does is you're looking at your next card, getting ahead. Essentially,
yeah, see, that feels so good ahead of me. I've played a lot longer than you, so maybe my view is
No, I agree. I agree that it's probably more blue, but I can see how it's still red.
Yeah, it's kind of red's new thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this all...
They're trying to get ahead of you in any way necessary. Scrying, being able to get advantage against your opponent by seeing a card early, making decisions based off of it, or getting rid of a card that you don't want to draw. Yeah. Red loves that kind of advantage over opponents.
They do. I mean, it's...
I mean,
it's
the Outpost Siege.
Yeah, but again, it's the new thing for red. Like, to me, it doesn't feel ready on
really,
any of these new cards. Like, red
they
is...
They can't really keep putting Outpost Siege effects for red, because there have been, like, the cards, like, the 3-mana one from M14, where you exile top card of your library, you may play it until end of turn. No one wants to pay 3 mana in a red deck to be able to play the top card. Which, if you're playing, you better hope it's a land or a very, very cheap spell.
See, I think it should be really rare in red. Any sort of, you know, checking your thing. Because red's all about, you know, aggressive, playing with fire. Like, you know, hey, you can burn
the
yourself.
The thing we're doing it now is Scry 1. And because it's only 1, it's not too big of an advantage. Plus, it's also making cards that would normally cost 2 or 3 cost 4 or 5.
Okay.
Because of that one scry. So it's kind of slowing red down a little bit, but giving them some advantage.
I suppose. To me, it feels like blue's toned down mechanic. When they want to tone blue down, like that in the past, this is the type of mechanic they'd go to. They'd go to looter type effects or scry effects. And, I don't know.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's probably still going to be a blue effect.
Yeah, bring back preordain.
Yep.
So just everyone can shit themselves, but
unbanned, preordained, and modern.
Yeah. So intimidate is gone. We talked about that. That basically is, you know, it was kind of confusing for a lot of players who played a long time because it's fear, but not fear.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, wait, wait. But it's like
fear. Eerily close to fear. Because fear originated on black creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially fear for black creatures was intimidate. But they wanted to try to give fear to other creatures in other colors, and it kind of didn't work.
It did, but it didn't. Like, Blade Tusk War, let's face facts, was too overpowered a draft.
Yep.
But, you know, so they got rid of that for Menace.
I feel like Intimidate was the... Intimidate's kind of like the Shroud into Hexproof from Fear into Intimidate.
Yeah. Landwalk. This is disappointing to me.
I understand, because, like, they haven't really put it on many things, bar Meandering Tower Shell.
True, but it's always been... one of those trump ways to get past certain control decks.
It you is, know, to have but that land. They're so, I feel like Wizards is probably afraid to really put a certain type of landwalk on certain cards. Instead, they're getting it unblockable, which is the same thing. Well, not the same, but it's still evasion, unblockable evasion.
It's the same, but not the same.
Unblockable is more fair.
Kind of. Is, and it lets you spread it over... Well,
it's less punishing to players, because, like, if your opponent has Island Walk, if they're playing Merfolk in Modern, and you don't have an island in play, and they don't have a Spreading Seas, but you need a blue source, you have to give up being able to block this creature in order to play a land. I think Land Walk makes people afraid of playing a certain type of land because of a creature that has that Land Walk.
Which to me creates more complexity in the game, which makes it more interesting.
It does, but remember, core sets kind of are trying to be towards newer players.
It is.
And newer players aren't, like, they're going to be like, I'm just not going to play this.
Yeah, but, I mean, you have to put, I mean, they say it's to newer players, but they're putting fucking double-sided cards in this set. So this isn't your average core set.
Well, like, core sets are normally to adhere to newer players, but... like, give the older players some treats. Which is what core sets were, which is why they had an identity crisis, which is why this is their last core set for a while. I'm not going to say forever, because they can always go back and change it, but for the foreseeable future, no more core sets after this.
Yeah, their big complaint is Landwalk leaves no interaction.
Yeah.
Whatever. Protection. This is one of those things, look, I mean... COPs were big when I started playing.
I don't like this one being removed, because this is where things like hate cards, like creatures mm-hmm. with hate abilities come in.
Yeah, Mistcutter Hydra type cards. Like, you need this.
Mistcutter Hydra, Mirren Crusader versus Phyrexian Crusader. The flavor for those having protection from each other was so spot on. Having them remove something like that, kind of, to me, can remove some of the creative aspects Wizards can do.
Agreed.
Because they could print a card that, say, I'm just gonna go like Rabbit versus, or like Rabbit and the Farmer. Old kid tales. Rabbit has protection from humans or from soldiers, or the human has protection from beasts. Like, they can't really do something flavorful like that anymore because they're removing it.
Yeah.
And to me, I love flavor in cards. And normally in Limited, flavorful cards tend to be good. I'm not looking at Eye Gouge. But
Eye Gouge was actually kind of good.
It got good towards once the third set came out, but originally it was not.
Yeah, it was minus one for one.
You weren't happy to play it, but
one mana kill target Mutavault. That's soft play, dude.
Oh yeah, it did.
I mean, Kill Target Mutavault was a big deal.
Well, that's because of the blue decks, that was their only win con.
As blue decks should be.
But then again, they were also running Elixir of Immortality with Sphinx's Revelation. So
fair.
Cycle back Mutavaults.
So here's the deal. What this really means for everybody who's buying Origins is you will not see a True Name Nemesis reprint in Origins. Protection's gone. Let's take a second.
From what they're saying, it's not gone.
It's gone from this set.
Time in a set that needs it. Yep.
Yeah. So no True Name. Darn. But dude, spoilers started coming out for this set like crazy.
True
so
Name
that means
Standard and Modern.
Be awesome.
No.
Be be just fucking wonderful.
People would just play blue-green.
Why would you even play green?
Den Protector.
Just play Murpho, dude.
Deathmiss Raptor.
Why not just play Murpho?
I'm
talking about modern. I just play Murpho.
Jeez, I thought you were done with talking about modern.
Well, I'm sorry. It's on my mind. It's been so much fucking modern recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always see, you said modern, then standard, so I went to the first one. Okay? Whatever. And I have Kate to fucking prove it, so fuck you.
Yes, you do.
So the first one, you just go to Merfolk, and I don't know, I think it'd be fun. But I'm an ignorant human being, so.
I feel like it'd be banned very quickly in modern, and standard would be miserable for a little while.
I don't know if it'd be, I know it wouldn't be banned in standard. Like, I don't
know. No, it wouldn't be banned in standard, because they'd probably print Shrivel in Battle for Zendikar. They'll probably print other negative,
infect type effects and shit.
Oh, Engineered Plague?
Yeah.
Print that for modern?
Yeah, that's what we need. But I mean, in modern, I don't know if it would get banned just because, like...
No, it
the
wouldn't.
The problem
because,
is
like,
banned.
Yeah.
The problem is already banned, and that's fucking Stoneforge. And, you know, if you can't just go get a Batterskull to set onto the thing on turn three, then, you know, hey, it's a little more fair.
I mean, it really only hurts Merfolk. And
why are we talking about this? I mean, seriously, we just said that it's not going to happen, and we've just ate up 5 minutes of tape on this.
Whatever. On to Origin spoilers.
Spoilers! Yay, spoilers! So what, we got
Angelo,
2 weeks?
Take the lead.
2 weeks until the pre-release?
I think three.
Okay, pretty sick. You want me to take the first one?
Yep, you always have me take the lead for the last two sets, but you're up.
The reason I do that is because I'm the host, you guys are the co-hosts, I want you guys to get first shot at cards,
I appreciate it. Your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to do this, and we know that Angelo's wheelhouse is Mardu / limited.
So, blue white flyers.
Yeah, blue white flyers.
Black slow dirtle, I win through very narrow card advantage.
No.
I have all the removal.
No, see, I can explain my love of Mardu at the moment, okay? And the reason is it plays like an old school rock deck, where you just have really powerful creatures that can do the job on their own, and then it has all the answers.
Best removal spells.
Right. It has all the answers you're going to want, and then on top of that, it has very strong creatures that can just finish things off themselves. That's why I was in love with Doran for all those years, because it was like, look, I have Tarmogoyf, I have Dorans. Yeah, dude, I'm good. Like, all I need now is just spells to keep your critters off the board.
You now have Siege Rhino.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Goyf into Doran and Siege Rhino, what's better?
I could name a lot of things, but I don't have the time.
So, hey, it is not bad.
It's not bad. So, the other, because see, I'd rather go always into an Elspeth.
Yeah.
Knight Errant, dude, jump that door. Yep. That thing hits hard. But.
For Goyf, whatever seems to be bigger at the time.
Right, but I'm not going to talk about a Mardu card. I am, in fact, going to talk about a limited card, because that's really where my love is. And, when you're talking about, the standard. It's a 3/3 flyer for 5, right?
Yep.
That's just great and limited.
That is a common. It's
yes.
A common, people.
It is a common. We're going to give it prowess, and we're going to call it Ring Warden Owl. Dude.
So wait, we have a 3/3 flyer for 5 at common.
Yeah, which is completely playable right there. Just completely playable right there, and then you give it prowess. Like, I'm thinking back to, there was a card... Shit, I don't even remember the set now, but it was like a 3/3 flyer for 5, but when you played it, you drew a card. And, like, that card was insane. And I see this being just as insane as that was because of prowess. It's like, oh yeah, you try to kill it with a fucking lightning bolt or whatever removal spell they give us. And you just go, yeah, in response, I'm just going to play a Hydro Lash. My creature lives. And I'm dealing 4 damage. It's just a sick fucking card. Big ass owl, who doesn't like owls? And, if there's one thing that tells me, blue-white flyers is going to be a real deck. Or blue-something flyers in this core
set. Especially in core set.
Yeah.
It always is.
It always is, but right now this is looking like the way I am going.
Oh yeah, like that alone.
It's that common, dude. I can get like all the 5 drops I need.
Then there's another thing at common in those colors that's just insane.
Just an but sick. So what do you want to go with?
You know, I'm gonna go on to the red side.
Okay.
I'm going to go over a limited card as well.
Okay.
I am going to go over Subterranean Scout.
Okay.
He is a 2/1 Goblin Scout for 1 and a red. When he enters the battlefield, target creature with power 2 or less can't be blocked this turn.
See, I don't see this.
You don't like it?
As much as you, as a limited card. I think it has real constructed ramifications.
Oh, it does. It does, but I feel like limited is where it's going to start, and it's still really good and limited.
Well, see, I'm seeing this alongside, now hear me out here, there was that dragon card in the last set. Double red for a 2/2. Okay.
Oh, Dragon Whisper. Yep,
yeah, and
it
has...
that gets flying and fire breathing,
right. So you play this, you make that unblockable, and then once that trigger's on the stack and resolved, then you can pump that thing once, you know, it's already been declared, and, oh, crap, you can't block it.
It also goes along with any prowess creatures in the set for...
Ah, so fucking sick. Like, I really see that more as a constructed card, strangely.
Oh, yeah, I see it there as a constructed, but I just feel like its ramifications will start in limited.
Okay. Do you see it that way?
Well, no, it will be in standard. I will see that.
Yeah, probably.
And do I get the wheel, sir?
We always do the wheel. Work the wheel.
All right. The wheel is another very, very powerful blue common.
Ooh, I think I know what he's talking about.
Separatist Void Mage.
Yep.
He is a 2/2 human wizard for 3 and a blue. When he enters the battlefield, you may bounce target creature.
I've seen this card printed before. It worked really well, and it was a very good card.
Mm-hmm. This into Owl?
Oh, dude, just both this into anything. I'll draft 6 of these. I'll just
six
like,
of those, ding, 6 of the Owls.
Ding, ding. No, you don't
and
want
then
6
just
5
the
drops.
Rest are removal spells.
You don't want 6/5 drops. You're talking crazy now. I only want like 3 Owls.
When you have 6/4 drops, 6/5 drops, and just a whole bunch of removal, you're good.
Yeah, that works.
Not really, but you're good.
Yeah, not really. Seems fair to me.
Yeah. So what do you want to pick?
What do I want to pick? Well, again, you know, mind you guys, we only have like 2 rares. everything
and
that has been spoiled.
The Liliana, everyone already knows about, so we're probably not going to pick her.
Yeah, everything we're pretty much talking about are going to be, you know, commons and uncommons, so we're looking at a lot of limited chaff. But there's a couple that I do rather like more than others, and I'm going to move into black here. Ooh, and I'm going to talk about Iblite Assassin for 2 and 1 black. He's a 2/2. Elf Assassin. When Iblite Assassin enters the battlefield, target creature an opponent controls gets -1/-1 until end of turn. This could be a post-combat trick to kill something bigger. This could be a, when you're playing against black, if you have a 5/5 and they swing with a 4/4, you gotta think. You know what I mean? Like, ah, fuck, does he have an assassin? You know, you really gotta have to
especially if they're in like green.
Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, if somebody has some 1/1s, it just kills shit. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it, wow, yeah.
And if it's anything like last core sets, 1/1s. Whew.
Yeah, yeah. Just a solid card. People are going to play it without question. And why the hell not, right? It seems good to me. I don't know.
So what's your next pick?
Well, my next one, I'm going to go a bit overboard here, and I am going to complain.
Okay.
All right. So. We have this really good dragon in the standard right now for 4. It's called a Thunderbreak Regent.
Can't get much better. That also hurts people for 3 if they try to kill it.
Right.
With targeting removal, which they're gonna have to.
So, but, you know, it's a 4-drop dragon, so they're really beginning to bring down the casting cost on dragons. Mm-hmm. So, then they came out with this new one. And I'm gonna butcher the name of this until I hear how it's properly
Avaricious.
Avaricious Dragon. Okay, 4-4 flying for 2 and 2 red. At the beginning of your draw step, draw an additional card. That is amazing. At the beginning of your end step, discard your hand. That is bad. Now, mind you, in a Sly deck, I like it.
Maybe you want to cut the Outpost Sieges for this?
Maybe?
But Outpost Sieges can't die to creature removal.
That says discard your hand.
Yeah, but like, even in a mono-red deck, you're going to be dropping your hand, and if anything, you're going to be holding spare lands.
Right, in a Sly deck, where, you know, your casting cost stops at 4.
And it's probably only 3 or 4 cards.
Right. Then yeah, this is a fine card in that I see it getting plenty of play in that style of deck.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it could even see play in like a modern Sly deck with like Goblin Rabble Master, Monastery Swift Spear. I mean, like, yeah, I can see it there. Just because of the extra draws. Like, that's pretty powerful.
Bizarre Trader.
What?
End of your main phase give you this?
Yeah. Get rid of your hand, buddy. But I can see it there. I don't know. It's not the type of magic I want to play. I want to control the board and stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you take away my hand, there is no worse feeling in magic than having an empty hand looking at your opponent going, do what you want.
Or especially if they have like four or five cards in hand.
Right. Like, dude, like, I mean, you can be tapped out and still do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's been packs and shit like that created, so you can still do stuff tapped out, but when you have nothing in your hand,
you can't do anything except activate abilities.
You can't do stuff. You're just like, man, you see everything. Knock yourself out there, buddy.
I mean, going alongside the Dragon Whisperer, this card will probably be good along with Thunderbreak Regent, because you'll probably play 4 Thunderbreaks, 1 or 2 of these in a mono red deck.
See, I'm looking at it and I see, like, let's just say, you know, just stay current standard. We don't know what things are going to look like post-rotation, so I don't want to really look too far into that, because then we're trying to speculate what's going to be in the next set, and we just don't know.
But speculation's fun. I love speculation.
We don't even know what's in this set, you know. But if you look at, like, the current red deck that runs, you know, with the Atharkus Commands, where you have Foundry Street Denizens, you have
Zurgos, Swiss Spears,
yes.
Dragon Fodder.
Right, you have all these, you know, 2-drops and 1-drops and things like that. Well, as soon as your hand gets empty, you drop a dragon. You know, oh, I'm going to rip this Stoke to Flames and this fucking Atharkus Command, I win, fuck you. You know, like, yeah, it fits in that deck perfectly. Like, that deck just got stronger. Knock yourself out, it's not even fair, but, I mean,
some would say it got weaker because you're now having 4-drops.
Well, some of them, weren't they already running, like, a 2 of the Heel Cutter?
Yeah, but you would dash that in for 3.
You would, but this just replaces Heel Cutter, and then you draw an extra card.
I don't think it replaces Heel Cutter at all.
I do. I think it replaces Heel Cutter better.
Being able to make something not block is too valuable.
Drawing an extra card.
You want to kill them.
Drawing an extra card will get
the
you
the blue mage in you is clouding your mono red judgment.
No, dude. If I can rip 2... Alright, let's just say top 2 cards on my deck. Okay.
Land.
They're gone. Now all of a sudden I'm getting to my gas. How is that bad? Now I'm 2
Goblin Heel Cutter dodges sorcery speed removal and board wipes. Relevant.
I suppose, but you know, you're gonna keep bouncing that back to your hand, and every turn you're losing
every
3 mana.
You'll make something
that.
Yeah, but
every
like,
turn you're losing 3 mana to that card where in
when
this
you
case,
already are dumping most of your hand and that's the only thing you're gonna be really doing.
But if they don't kill this thing immediately, you draw 2 cards and it's fucking, I don't know, the lightning bolt that's in the format, which lightning strike, sorry. Mm. It's a lightning strike and a Tarkus command.
But yeah. I mean, I won't be surprised if it does see play in those decks.
No, if it's a Foundry Sheet Denizen in a fucking any other card, you're happy with that. Like, it just, I see it in that deck, and I think it's actually better than Heel Cutter, dude.
I feel like it has a possibility, but I don't think at first. I think Heel Cutter is just going to stay on top.
There is nothing more powerful in Magic than drawing cards.
Gaming life.
There is nothing more powerful in Magic than drawing cards. You just can't argue with me here. I'm right. Mike, what's your last card?
You're not wrong. What is my last card?
Yeah, we're on three, right? Yeah. Third card? Yeah.
Third card? Oh, jeez. Scroll through a whole bunch of commons and uncommons. Silence. No. I keep scrolling over Liliana, but I'm not going over Liliana.
If you don't pick one soon, I'm going to take your pick.
Got it. I'm going to go over a black 2-drop.
Okay.
Angela, you probably know what this one is.
I'm staring at it. I would have went over the 1-2 to the right, but that's okay.
Okay. We are going to go over Malakir Callblade. He is a 1-1 vampire warrior for 1 and a black. He is uncommon. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Malakir Callblade.
Yep.
Kill he stuff, get big. When we just looked at a giant flying owl with good upside as a common. An unsummon on a stick at common. An evasion, a creature that makes something unblockable, 2-drop, at common.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like he could have been a common and there wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there might have been.
I mean, they probably made it an uncommon for a reason, and we only have, what, a tenth of the spoilers?
No, we have about 57 cards out of 272, so we have bought a fifth.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I mean, for now it doesn't seem uncommon worthy. They could have also just been afraid to put it at common to see too many in a draft.
Yeah, that could get ugly.
It could, but you also are going to have enough kill spells to make it good.
Which we don't know. They might have.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a few already. So, it's possible.
We've seen some decent ones.
So, real quickly, without going over what the cards are, because I'm sure people know what they are, this is a core set.
Yep.
We're each, and I'll pick first, we're each going to pick a reprint that we're happy to see back. I am going with Elvish Visionary. Because, duh. Mike?
I'm going to go with... God, it's hard to choose. Because I haven't played for very long. Yeah, I know, right? I'll just go with Titan Strength.
Yeah.
Well, good card.
With that. Yeah, so there we go. More in the future spoilers to come, like every week for the next couple weeks, because we have to go over spoilers.
Every week. So, well, probably not next week, hopefully. Real spoilers start in, I believe, 2 weeks, so... Probably not next week's show, but look for the show after that, probably going over more spoilers.
Eh, we'll go over when they come out. Just is what it is, folks. Anyway. Yeah, I clapped my hands. Fuck you.
Anyway. I'm thinking to myself, did he just clap?
Yes, I did. So I solicited a couple questions from our listeners, and both of them kind of tie in the subjects that we've gone over already, and one of them comes from Tim Thompson. Listener of the show, and this ties right into basically what we was just talking about in cards we want to see reprinted.
Are we going to put a limitation on it for format?
Well, reprinted, it would be in standard.
Well, okay, yeah.
So, you know, almost cards that we would like to see in Origins, even if we know that they won't be. you know, the first one I'm going to go with is just a classic for me, and a Stone Rain. I know it won't be, but god damn it, I won't stand right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike, what do you want to see reprinted?
I have to say Huntmaster of the Fells so badly.
Probably won't be, but okay.
Nope. Very highly unlikely.
But okay. So the fact that I'm evil, if you guys didn't realize that, another card I would really just... I want to see it reprinted just because I want to see it in standard and in modern, believe it or not, is Wasteland. I think that it's not too powerful.
Insta-banned in Wasteland.
I don't think it's not too powerful of a card for either one of those formats.
It is for Modern.
No, it's not.
When you're having to pay two for your duels to come in untapped, we already Ghost Quarter's already backbreaking enough for, in its most decks.
This is a choice you make when you build land bases that fragile.
Yeah.
Yeah?
But that's what Modern's been made into. And I just feel like it'll shake up Modern way too much.
I think it'll shake it up just as much as it needs to be.
I don't think it needs that
land destruction spell like that or land. It needs to, dude, right now, Modern, the reason I don't like Modern is it's just a combo hell and everybody has perfect mana and it just, to me, I just don't like it because like, at least in Legacy, you have Wasteland to keep that in check. Yes, you have perfect mana in Legacy, but goddammit, I got a Wasteland. And in Modern, you have perfect mana. Oh fuck, there's a Ghost Quarter. I'm sorry, it's definitely different.
Yeah, but when most decks are only running a few basics anywhere from, unless you're a fish.
It's Wasteland. Right. It's not fucking, the other one.
Strip Mine?
It's not Strip Mine. It's Wasteland. Okay?
Yeah.
So what's your next?
God damn it, I just had it. And then you started going off about Wasteland.
You know I'm right. Wasteland would be awesome.
What? Oh, okay. Angelic Destiny.
Really?
Yes. Another one of my favorite cards.
Okay, that's the enchantment that's...
Gives +4/+4 flying and makes an angel. And when the creature dies, you return Angelic Destiny to your hand.
Yeah.
Has the Rancor effect on it and gives your guy +4/+4 flying and it becomes an angel creature type.
Yeah, I remember that card. It's awesome play. That wasn't a bad card.
For 4 mana?
No. No. It wasn't a bad card.
Not bad.
So... you know what I want to say?
Just say it.
I want to say it, but god damn it, everyone's going to lose their fucking shit if I say it. Fuck it.
Just say it.
Look, there's one card that Modern needs really badly, and quite frankly would not be backbreaking in Standard as much as
people
want to believe that it would be. No.
Force of Will?
Force of Will. I want to see Force of Will reprinted in Standard. I don't think it's too powerful.
I'm literally bad in Standard.
It's a 5-drop, dude, and it is card disadvantage when you use it.
Oh, yeah.
But Modern, because of the combo shenanigans that's going on with things like Summer Move.
The combo decks would run it like Twin, because they don't care about the combo, they will grind you out to death.
And that's fine, because it would also give some of the other fair decks, such as Merfolk, more of a fair shot against one of those type of decks. It would.
I thought you were going to say Counterspell.
No, honestly, it doesn't need Counterspell. You need something to stop the combo, guaranteed. You know, you need something to stop. I mean, like right now, everyone's already talking about all the cards that are probably going to be banned because of fucking, the Bloom deck.
Yep.
You know, like people were like betting their lives that fucking cards are getting banned out of that fucking, set. So, or out of that deck. So like.
Summer Bloom, done.
Yeah, Summer
Deck Bloom, is done.
And, you know, it's like, well,
I'm surprised a card like Summer Bloom hasn't really been seeing much more play elsewhere.
Yeah, no.
When you have cards like Lotus Cobra?
Yeah. Which sees no play.
Turn 2 Lotus Cobra, turn 3 game. Summer Bloom. Turn 3 Summer Bloom. Play 4 lands. I now have 8 mana.
You have to have 4 lands in your hand, that's rough. But it's a dying
shame. But even if you only have 3 or 2, that's still 4 or 6 mana.
Well, you can play Explorer.
Yeah.
but, yeah. I mean,
only 1 Explorer.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that it's something that Modern needs, and you wouldn't have to ban so many fucking cards if you just had a card like that to keep things in check. Truth be told, if you bring back Force of Will, you can unban. If they were to reprint Force of Will in this set, they could unban half of the ban list, and it would be completely fair.
Unban Blood Red Elf.
You'd probably be able to See, that's a tough one because of the fucking...
If you're bringing back Force of Will from the Blue Decks, you have to give Jun something like Bloodbraid Elf.
Yeah, you almost would have to, but...
I feel like you have to.
That keyword, that Cascade keyword, dude, I just... Yeah.
That was... Storm and Cascade were two of the biggest mistakes by Wizards.
Yeah, Cascade is just bad. Free spells, never good. Like Phyrexian mana, I mean, every free spell they've ever printed, it's been a problem. You know, it just, But yeah, I think you could unban a lot of the crap that's on the list because you'd have this thing to keep shit in check, and now it's not there, you know? So, what would be the last one you'd want to see reprinted?
The last one I would like to see?
Yes.
Is... Shardless Agent.
Shardless Agent in Standard. No.
Why not?
Cascade.
And?
Because Cascade.
It's a free drop with Cascade.
Cascade.
What are you hitting? A Foxy's?
That seems pretty strong.
I feel like it'd be fine in Modern. You don't have Deathray Shaman.
Dude, in Modern?
You lost Deathray Shaman. The worst you're going to get is a discard. Like, probably the worst that can happen to you is a discard spell.
Or a Tarmogoyf.
They just played a 3-mana 2-1 that's probably going to just not be able to attack.
And they got a Tarmogoyf.
So they
have a blocker.
For Tarmogoyf and a chump blocker.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's not backbreaking, I don't think. It's because Bloodbraid Elf was a 4-drop that is what made it so good.
3, it really cuts it down, but you still, like in Modern, I mean, it just replaces Violent Outburst.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a great thing either.
I mean, that deck hasn't really been seeing much play.
It really hasn't, strangely. People just
It's just so weak to sideboard.
I suppose.
Because there's already some decks that are running Graveyard Hate for against the Podless Pod for Snapcaster Mages. Yeah. For the very, very rogue Storm decks.
Yeah.
It's just like, the second you see a Chalice of the Void or a Rest in Peace, you just scoop.
True. I don't know, man.
Or not Chalice of the Void, Leyline of the Void.
Yeah, I know what you meant. Like, Tysus, there's just so... whatever.
And we kind of mentioned Engineered Plague earlier. Which, I feel like I'd actually be fine. Standard, I'll give the, Esper Dragon's deck's a better matchup against the Atarka Red. It would just be an extra card to call Goblin and just not have to worry about 90% of the deck.
If you're engineering things, probably a better card would be Engineered Explosives for Standard because people spread out their casting costs so much that it wouldn't be nearly as backbreaking, but it would be a very...
But then you reintroduce Sunburst.
You do. That's true.
And
fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay, so
like
you
if
have
only
topic.
It didn't have to have Sunburst on that card. Like if it just had said
fuck it, bring back Ratchet Bomb. There we go.
Yeah. I mean that was back in Standard for M14 and it rarely saw much play.
Which was strange, like when it needed to be seen. Like could you imagine the current format with all the Hordling Outbursts and shit?
Oh my god.
You know,
I mean,
what we sat through for the past year, there was a bunch of Hordling Outburst type decks, or, you know, like, Ratchet Bomb would be very good against those.
I just feel like Engineered Plague for Standard is helpful for, enough decks without being overpowering against a decent amount of the field, cause you'd probably, like, in a black deck, only devote one slot in the sideboard to it. Cause you're probably gonna have 3 Drowns and 1 Engineered Plague, so. And then for Modern...
I just don't think Black needs it, because it just has so much
I don't think it does, but, like, for Modern, it shuts down Twin by calling Cleric.
Yeah. Infest would be cool. Neg 2. Man, wouldn't that be good in Standard right now?
Disfigure?
No. Infest did it to everything.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, I'd be so good in standard right
now. How much mana? Two?
Yep. Or three. Black.
That's what Drowning Sorrow does.
And it's Scrawge. Good point. Drowning Sorrow is good in standard right now against the right deck. But we have another topic, which kind of goes back to another topic that we talked about earlier, the Rolling Stone thing, and this one comes to us from Jason Roscomb, and it's, do we believe Magic the Gathering has peaked in popularity? What got it to the point that it's currently at, and where do we see it being in 5 years? So, on the first question, has it peaked in popularity? I am going to say no.
I am going to say no as well.
Not only
because of the movie,
yeah,
but also because of being on the cover of Rolling Stones.
It's not on the cover. It was in the thing.
Oh, okay, whatever. But
wasn't on the cover, man. The cover of the Rolling Stones movie. Or is it song?
But if only, I feel like it might reach its peak within the next decade, maybe a little bit after that, but it is not at the peak currently.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ever going to truly peak. Most people who play it and sit down and actually get a few games in enjoy it. So it's just a matter of it being
introduced.
It's kind
of hard to say if it peaks because of what, look at what happened with the, Mirrodin block. You could have said Magic peaked before that happened, or it peaked right when RTR came out.
Yeah.
Or original Ravnica came out. The game was reborn.
It was on
the brink of dying.
It just constantly grows. It's one of those
constantly
things
evolves. Even if there's a down period, they're gonna come back.
Yeah, there's been ebb and flows in the past where it's like, you know, a bad set come out. Kamigawa was the one that really jumps out in my mind. Where everybody was just like, fuck this. But like Kamigawa, believe it or not, was needed to save the game because things just got way too strong. It's like we needed a set to be a weak set. Yeah, we needed a set to reset things, and like it did that, and it really actually
saved. I love
saved
the flavor
it.
Of Kamigawa block, but
yeah, I didn't like the fact that no one could pronounce half the names.
I like the like mythology and lore behind. Like I love flavor of cards, so whenever you get an entire set like that, I love it. That's why I love Pharaohs.
Yeah. The flavor's good, and like, when I used to put out the books, I'd always read the books, and they were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I would always read them because-
They're getting a lot better with like, the Uncharted Realms, not doing a book, but like doing-
They are, but you know what? I
like
miss having that-
Two, three pages.
I miss having that book. I really do.
Yeah.
But, as bad as the books were, I miss them. But, I mean, me, it's still more about the functionality of the sets that really matter to me mm-hmm. the most.
Lately, with Innistrad and Ferris, the functionality's been great.
Even with the foul flavor. Yeah. Innistrad's a good example of that, but I don't think it's peaked. It just...
No.
Okay, so somewhere along the lines, I just kind of lost Mike, and we tried to restart multiple times, and it just wouldn't work. So I'm going to real quickly try and finish this show off. I'm going to finish answering this question, and I'll just kind of get on with the show, all right? So the question was, you know, has it peaked in popularity? That was the first part of the question. I'll finish it by saying, you know, if you look at real sports right now, they're on a downward trend, a horribly downward trend. And what I mean by real sports is athletics, you know, your big four, baseball, basketball, hockey, football, you know. They're just on a downward trend. Kids aren't playing it as much as they used to. They're replacing that with games such as, you know, Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Pokemon since it's been rebooted, and video games. So as long as that trend in America continues, and across the world at that, then I believe it's going to continue to grow in popularity. And it doesn't hurt that in a couple years, a movie's going to be coming out, which is clearly, if Magic ever does peak, and I don't think it's going to, that would be the moment, because people who know nothing about it absolutely is going to jump on there and, you know, they're going to start playing this game. What got it here? I mean, it's just a solid game. Realistically, I mean, the same things that bring you back to it every time you play, the small percentages that you can improve and how much better just, you know, improving 1% of your play. How much better that actually makes you as a player every time you sit down to play it. The intricacies of the game, the story of the game. I mean, sadly, I definitely don't want to say it's the marketing of the game. I think they failed horribly in that aspect. So what got us here realistically is word of mouth and just the fact that the game is just so fucking solid. It's just undeniable how good of a game this legitimately is. And where do I think we're going to be in 5 years, you know, as far as MTG goes? Well, I mean, like I said, that's about when the movie will probably be out and, you know, people have seen it for a couple of years. I think Magic's going to be huge. Basically you're saying it seems like you're going to do a GP Vegas every 2 years. So let's just say 6 years from now instead of five. Once we've had three more GP Vegases, like I could very easily see one of them being 20,000 people in another 6 years. It's getting to that point. The game is just continues to grow and continues to grow. And again, I hate to hark back on the fact that movie's coming out. Like if the movie is good, it's going to do nothing but absolutely expand the breadth of what this game reaches currently. And we're going to just move into a whole new realm of how big a tournament can be than what it is now. I mean, I truly believe that you're going to see a lot more card shops opening up around the areas where you live and I live and what have you. I don't think you're going to see 8-player FNMs very often anymore in 5 years. I've already seen them to the point where they're almost non-existent. And 10 years ago, a 5-player FNM was an 8-player FNM was pretty fucking common. So, yeah, that's where I think it's going to be in 5 years. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Tim, for your questions. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back to wrap up the show. This show is brought to you each and every week by thebrainstormbrewery.com. Check these guys out. I mean, their website is like top notch. They have all kinds of great podcasts on there, such as the Brainstorm Brewery, Money Drought, and of course the Pitnips podcast. Like, you know, you should probably listen to these because they're just amazing. And there's plenty of other content on there. Marcel and the gang that runs that site, like, they're top-notch people, and you should definitely go check their site out, you know, once a week, twice a week, 7 days a week, something like that. At least go check them out. All right, back to the show. So, this is the part of the show I'm back at, where normally we would finish up, you know, just kind of rambling with each other and shooting shit. Well, I don't have a co-host to do that with at the current moment, so I guess I'll just tell you guys what's been up with me. Recently, I've gotten heavily back into weightlifting. I've been following a guy, C.T. Fletcher is his name, and he's about the most motivating human being on the planet. You know, the reason I quit weightlifting was because of my wrist. It really was fucking just killing me how bad it was hurting. And that kind of sucked, to be honest. I would try to lift, and anything over like 135 pounds, it would feel like my wrist was going to explode. And that ain't no good. You can't, you know, be a heavy fucking weightlifter. And unfortunately, like, when I lift light weights with high rep, I don't enjoy it as much. And when you don't enjoy something, the fact is you just aren't going to do it. So I pretty much, like, had quit doing it. Well, the extra 6 months or whatever that it's been since I've seriously fucking tried hitting the weights has given my wrist 6 more months to heal, and it feels a lot better now than what it did, and I'm actually able to lift some heavy weights without too much discomfort. There's still some there, but not too much discomfort. So, I mean, I've been doing a lot of that pretty much almost every day up until yesterday. I took a break day. Basically, I had to had a bunch of shit to do after work where basically it was like get show notes ready and run the wife around and just, you know, I had stuff I had to take care of. So I didn't really have time to go out and, you know, hit the dungeon for an hour or what have you. So I was like, well, you know, I'll make this my rest day. And, you know, tomorrow I'll do a quick workout, but I'll still hit it hard. And tomorrow was today. Well, I woke up this morning and my back was completely locked up. It is in agonizing pain right now. I can barely move, to be real honest. And I just slept bad. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, there's other things that it could possibly be, but I just kind of slept bad. I mean, I had a little slip in the shower. I don't know if that's what Twitch did, but something fucked it up. So I had that going on. That's awesome. But that's basically what's been up to me for the past week. I'm getting ready for, GP Charlotte. I'm going to go down, hang out with everybody and just, you know, kick it and have a good time at GP Bacon, right? It's fucking Grand Prix Bacon. That's fucking cool. Shout outs for this week. Mike told me to let you guys know he wants to give a shout out to any person he is going to meet down at GP Bacon. And that would be GP Charlotte for you other people who don't want to call it that. But you're just wrong if you don't want to call it that. I mean, it's GP Bacon. Fuck it. You punch that hashtag into your Twitter account. You'll see all kinds of crazy shit. I want to give a shout out to Jason and Tim for their questions. I got a bunch of questions, so I probably have topics for about the next 2 or 3 weeks before I'll ask again for topics. And because I want to really try and get through everybody's questions who sends them in. It's not fair to just randomly pick questions when, you know, there are, you know, if I get sent 10 really good topics to talk about, it's not fair to just randomly pick two of them and leave 8 really good ones off to the side just to make people resubmit them to me. So we are going to go over them again. Other shout outs, let's see here. Yeah, I got them. I can't think of any more. Shout outs to everybody who I forgot. And I'm sure you know who you are, so that's cool. If you wanted to get a hold of Mike, you can get a hold of him at, I don't know. I should pay more attention. Huntmaster_Mike on Twitter. Yeah, if you wanted to get a hold of him, you can get a hold of him there. If you wanted to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at GonkSuo on Twitter. It's GanksuOu. You can also find me on MTGO under the same handle. I've been on a little bit more frequently recently, just trying to grind some games and have some fun, you know. And you could also find me at pitimppodcast@gmail.com. And for those guys out there that, you know, want to get involved in a pretty good Facebook group, you can go to the Pit Imps Podcast Facebook group. Just jump on your search bar, put in Pit Imps Podcast, and it'll pop right up. And as long as you're not a botter, it doesn't say something like, joined less than a month ago, part of 75 groups, I'm going to let you into the group. I pretty much don't, I mean, we have a code of conduct, but to get in, I mean, yeah, I let everyone in and then let you fuck your, hang yourself from there, which I've never thrown anyone out. So yeah, we're good. But yeah, you can also find us there. So next week we're going to go over GP Charlotte, which is the modern fucking GP down there. More modern, more modern. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I can't wait to get back to standard. I'm going to be there just kind of hanging out with the guys and, you know, kicking it, taking the wife down. So if you're going to be there, you know, feel free to come up and say hello. I should be wearing either a blue or a white Pit Imp shirt, and I will be the ugly dude who is just sitting in the corner, probably looking very grumpy, but I'm not grumpy. It's just how I am. But until next week, Mike said something which I am not going to repeat, but he told me I needed to say it, but yeah, go fuck him. I'm not saying this works. And have a good one. Go fuck yourself.